Welcome to the Compass Podcast, featuring Chris Chandro and the Compass team. We hope this message is just for you.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everyone today. I am actually really glad to be up here because Mitch has been speaking for the last 2 weeks. And it's the type of deal where, he did great. You can clap for Mitch. It's funny, though. I thought, man, 2 weeks off is just going to be the best. And no joke, last week, I was about to pop out of my skin. I was like, I need something to do, okay? Please, just I'll clean up puke out of the nursery. I don't even care. Just something. But today we're starting off a brand new message series called Cups. And I'm really excited about what we're talking about this week. Did you know that the writers of Scripture, that in multiple occasions, they refer to us, they refer to people as cups? They talk about us as vessels, as jars, as pots. And in Scripture, they talk about God as the person who made those cups. God's the person who designed and created and crafted those vessels. He's the one who makes and designs and uses those cups. And so as we start this series, I kind of want to ask the question, what are cups for? I mean, why do cups exist? And really, the reason cups exist is so that we can fill them with stuff. I mean,
that's why cups are there, so that we can fill them with stuff. And so if we are cups and cups are designed to be filled with stuff, then it's obviously important to God what we're full of and how he fills us. And so we want to talk about some of this stuff over the next couple weeks, the stuff we're full of and why it is important. So before we start, I want to ask a question. Does anybody have a mug collection? Anybody collect mugs? Yeah, a while ago, Terry had this thing when we first got married where it's like all our dishes had to match and everything had to be, you know, consistent and perfect and nice. And I came from like, when I was in college, I'm like buying dishes at the thrift store. And so we combined our stuff, but she cleared everything out and made everything match. And all our mugs were all white and they all looked the same. They were uniform. But something happened. And in the last several years, we've just kind of fell in love with buying just different mugs. And so we went to the Lincoln Library and, you know, we all bought souvenirs and the kids picked something. And so what do Terry and I get? We get coffee mugs, you know? And so we just have this random collection of crazy mugs. And usually when I want to get something to drink, I always try to pick that mug that is my favorite. You want to get that mug that is you're the most excited about, because realistically, I think that it makes my drink taste better. You know, even this week, I was talking to Becky about how I think glass mugs are the best for coffee, because somehow when you're looking at coffee in a glass mug, it's just prettier and it just makes you want to drink it. I don't know if I convinced her necessarily, but like that's my thing. I was like, I want a pretty mug because I want my drink to taste better. And it's weird. Something in our mind works that way. But here's the thing. That is not so crazy. It's not as crazy as it seems. There is a study done in the Journal of Sensory Studies. So, I mean, check that out at Barnes & Noble sometime if you're just looking for some light reading. But they asked people to sip hot chocolate out of four different colored mugs. Now, what they didn't tell people is that the hot chocolate was exactly the same in every mug. Okay, every mug had the exact same hot chocolate in it. They had a white mug. They had a cream-colored mug. They had an orange mug and a red mug. And so out of all these people, they asked to taste the hot chocolate out of these mugs. They sample it, and then they would ask them what they thought, and which one they thought was the most tasty, which one they thought was the sweetest, which one they enjoyed more. This is crazy. Every single person surveyed thought that the hot chocolate tasted better, that it was sweeter, that it was more delicious when they drank it out of an orange or cream-colored mug. Every single person. Same hot chocolate. I mean, it's crazy, right? But there's something about how the outside of the cup changed the perceptions of people about what was inside of it. So the color of it, something about the outside of that cup, it changed the perception for people of what was on the inside of the mug. Now, we just don't do this with food. I remember when I was about 12 years old and I was getting ready to go into junior high. My mom, she decided to do this time when it came to getting school clothes. And maybe some of you guys did this. We did this with our kids this year. She said, okay, everyone, I'm going to give you $50 each to buy school clothes, okay? I'm not going to let you just pick out what you want, throw it in the cart. You have $50. You buy whatever you want. I'm washing my hands of it all. You're done, okay? So I was super excited. $50. What could I get with $50? So much. And so I'm walking around Kohl's, and I'm looking at all the racks. And here's the thing, too, with me. Like, when I have $50 to spend on clothes and it's my money, I'm going to look at every item of clothing in the store. Okay, I'm going to get exactly what I want. I don't care if it takes 2 hours or three. I'm going to get it. And so I did that. I'm walking around Kohl's and I'm looking for what I want. And there it was on the rack. It was a denim jacket with suede patches on the shoulders and the collar. Right? And so, and guys, I'm not just, I mean, it was like that, like, light brown suede that, like, when rain gets on it, it ruins it. Like, it was the coolest. And I looked at it and I knew I had to have it. So I went and looked at the price. This jacket was $35. So, okay, I'm doing the math here. Now, again, this was like, you know, I was in junior high, so this was like 5 years ago. And I look at the price, $35. I have $50. I'm doing the math. I have $15 left to get everything else that I need. Jeans, shirts, if I want new shoes. I only have $15 left. But that jacket, though, you know. And so I did what any responsible 12-year-old kid with $50 would do. I bought it. Because here's the thing. I didn't give a rip what else I wore. I knew this. I'm going to school every day in that jacket. And everyone's going to see how cool I am in that awesome jacket. And if I got to wear the same dirty clothes every stinking day, as long as that jacket's on top of it, I am down with it. I don't care. Because you know what? If people see me cool on the outside, then they're going to think I'm cool on the inside. And my denim jacket with suede patches. Man, can I tell you? The ladies were flocking to me in sixth grade. I mean, I had notes passed to me, do you like me, yes or no, all day, son. But here's the thing, yeah, thank you. It's true, though. We do make decisions in life based on what we see on the outside of things, because we do believe this. And it's proven to be true in our lives over and over again, that the outside can change the perception of what is on the inside. And we do it with movies. I mean, how many of you guys have ever seen a movie poster and you're like, nope, not seeing that. I saw the name Nicholas Sparks on it. I'm out. You know, I'm not seeing that movie. Guys, ladies, it's still true, though. But, like, I'll make it, you know, let me make it worse. Music is the same way. How many of you guys have ever looked at an album cover and you're like, I don't want to listen to that? It's music. It's a completely auditory medium of art. And yet somehow the graphic design of the album cover will tell me whether I'm going to like it or not. And guys, just hands down, if there's a cowboy hat on anyone on the album cover, I'm out. If I'm going to make you groan once, I'll make you groan all day. But we look at things on the outside because we believe, we have this attitude that what's on the outside will change people's perceptions of what's on the inside. And that attitude is so common to humanity that we find it everywhere. We find it in business. We find it in entertainment. We find it in art. Man, we find this attitude in religion. In fact, I think we probably most easily find this attitude in religion, the attitude that what's on the outside will change people's perception of what's on the inside. And I think it's so easy to find in religion because religion can tend to be such a behavior-based thing, and the things that I do, the way that I act, these behavioral expectations will kind of reflect on how religious or spiritual I am. And so I'm religious. I'm expected to live, to look, and to act in a certain way. And this belief that what's on the outside can affect people's perceptions of what's on the inside was something that was common in Jesus's day too, particularly as it came to religion. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about a time where that attitude, that belief kind of butted up against Jesus, and we're going to see how Jesus responded to it. So we're going to look, and we're going to start in Luke chapter 11. Now we're going to look at a couple of the Gospels. The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are basically four different accounts of the life of Jesus in the New Testament. Just written by four different authors, four different perspectives. What's interesting about that, though, is that you'll see the same story a lot of times have been told in multiple accounts throughout the Gospels. So today we're going to start in the book of Luke. We're going to look at the same story, and then we're going to bounce over to the Gospel of Matthew because I like how Matthew kind of approaches his telling of the story. So in Luke chapter 11, here's where we find Jesus. As Jesus was speaking, one of the Pharisees invited him home for a meal. So Jesus would teach people. He was always out teaching. And the Pharisees were always kind of milling around because they were curious what he was going to say. And they were also really kind of wanted to take him down a peg because he threatened their religious authority and their religious power. They just really weren't sure what to think about Jesus because the Pharisees were crazy religious. I mean, they were all about following every rule, every regulation to the dot. And then Jesus was over here and Jesus was teaching things that felt right and that seemed right and that people seemed to love to hear. But Jesus Jesus wasn't always as religious as the Pharisees were. And so they're really unsure what to think about Jesus. And so one of the Pharisees says, I'm just going to invite this guy over to my house. Okay. And, maybe for him, it was a good opportunity to confront Jesus about some of these things that he's seen in Jesus' ministry and some of his teachings. I'm not sure. But we'll get an idea. So Jesus goes and he went in and took his place at the table in the home of this Pharisee. Now here's what happened. It says this, that his host, this Pharisee, was so amazed to see that Jesus sat down to eat without first performing the hand washing ceremony required by Jewish custom. So here's just some backstory. The way that Jewish religion worked back in those days, you had the law and it was scripture and it's what the Jewish people followed. But then in addition to scripture, over hundreds of years of history, Jewish rabbis and religious leaders had added all sorts of ceremonies and demands and rules and regulations on top of scripture because they wanted to make sure that they were doing everything right and they wanted to make sure that they looked right. And there was something, I mean, let's be honest, there's something about like the, you know, meeting the demands of religion that it makes people puffed up, makes them feel good, right? And that was the Pharisees. The Pharisees were all about following these ceremonial rules and regulations that really weren't even found in scripture a lot of the times, but that made them feel like they were powerful, that they were important, that they were maybe above everyone else because they could follow it and other people couldn't. And one of those was this ceremonial hand washing, you know, rule that they had to follow. And basically what it was is that before every meal, before they ate, the Jewish people, the religious people were so eager to not be ceremonially unclean that they went to crazy lengths to make sure that they were good before God. And part of that was making sure that they had not touched anything that would make them unclean or look impure before God. And so this hand washing ceremony, every time they eat, they would go through this literally a religious rite, a religious ceremony of washing themselves before they ate. Now, it didn't have anything to do with how clean your hands were. It didn't have anything to do with all of that. It was quite literally a ceremony. A hand washing ceremony. Jesus comes into this Pharisee's house. Pharisee invites him in. He's like, hey, Jesus, come on in. And the Pharisee's like, oh, Father, washeth my hands. And and Jesus comes in and he's like, maybe wipes his hands on his robe or something. I don't know. And then Jesus sits down at the table and his host is like, dude, what are you doing? You come into my home and you don't follow the religious hand washing ceremonies required by our religion, required by our faith. Now, the passage here doesn't tell us what the Pharisee says in calling Jesus out, but we can know this from the response that Jesus gives the Pharisee and probably his other guests who were Pharisees at the table. That he confronted Jesus about Jesus's unwillingness to follow this religious rule, this religious ceremony that was so important to the Pharisees because we're going to see how Jesus responded. We're going to jump over to Matthew chapter 23, same story. We're going to see how Jesus responds. So Pharisee's like, Jesus, how dare you? How dare you not follow our customs and not be a good religious Jew and wash your hands the way that you should have in a ceremonial way? Father, cleaneth my hands. And this is what Jesus says. This is hardcore. He says, you know what? What sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? Hypocrites. Like Jesus is like, I mean, imagine like one of the Pharisees is like, oh, I appreciate my brother here for calling Jesus out on this. And, I appreciate him for calling him out and making sure that Jesus follows these religious ceremonial rules. And he probably thinks it's no big deal. And then Jesus, I imagine Jesus just flipping the table and being like, hypocrites. I mean, how intense is that? He's calling them out to their faces and he continues. He says, for you are so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. Jesus is pulling no punches. He says, you want to talk about hand washing? You want to talk about being ceremonially clean? Well, guess what? You are a hypocrite. You are full of filth and greed and self-indulgence, and you don't even know it. Have you ever pulled a, if you're going to a restaurant or pulled a cup out of the dishwasher and you fill it up and you start drinking it, and then you get halfway through, and as you're halfway through, you realize that inside the cup that you've been drinking out of, it's full of like grit and grime and leftover food. Like the food that the dishwasher just sprayed up into that mug, and like that cup was like magnetic just for crap. It's just like, I want to keep you. And you, or you ever been, cups talk in my imagination. Have you ever been to a restaurant and you like you drink half your cup and then you're like, oh, hey, there's lipstick and I'm not a woman and I'm not wearing any. Has that ever happened to you? Like, how gross is that when you drink that and you get into the bottom of it and you realize it's been full of just crud and full of just junk and grody stuff. And Jesus is looking at the Pharisees and he's saying, you know how disgusting it is when that happens? Well, that's you. You're a mug that somebody filled up with coffee and they put the perfect amount of, you know, sugar, Splenda, or Stevia in it. And just they put the perfect right amount of cream in it. And they were so excited to enjoy this delicious cup of coffee. And they sipped it and they thought it was so good and it was delicious. And the more they drank, the more they got down, they realized it reached a point where they could see all of the grime that had stuck to the inside of the cup that was down at the bottom. And it was filthy and disgusting. And Jesus is looking at these Pharisees and he's saying, guys, that's you. You are disgusting. And then he continues. I mean, here, and that's not like awkward at all, right? Hey, I'm a guest in your home. You disgust me. Jesus continues. Matthew 23, 27. He says, he goes on. He's like, what sorrow. The second time he says this, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees talking to a group. And again, he says it, hypocrites, for you are like, you're like whitewashed tombs. You're beautiful on the outside, but you're filled on the inside with dead people's bones and all sorts of impurity. Outwardly, and get this, outwardly, you look like righteous people, but inwardly, your hearts are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. And if you don't think that Jesus has offended these Pharisees enough at this point, know this, that like one of the things that could make you incredibly unclean in the Jewish religion back at that time ceremonially was touching anything that was dead. If you touched a dead body, if you touched something that was dead, you were immediately unclean and you had to go through this incredibly huge process of becoming pure and clean so that you could enter the temple again and so that you could hang out with other people who were religious again. Touching something that was dead was just abhorrent to religious Jewish people. And Jesus looks them in the face and he says this, not only are you like a cup that is clean on the outside, but just filthy on the inside, but you are like a grave. You're a tomb. And you know what's inside? It's full of dead things, full of gross, dead, disgusting, dead things. Jesus is looking there, looking them in the eye. And he's not only telling them that they are unclean, but that they are full of death. Now that's pretty heavy. You're not just a mess. You don't just have some dirt in there that maybe you should try to clean up sometimes. No, Jesus is like, no, you are full of death. You are completely and totally unclean. In spite of their rigorous obedience to religious rules and customs, and in spite of the fact that everyone would have looked at them as being totally and completely religiously perfect based on their outward behaviors, and in spite of how perfectly they knew the religious laws and customs at the time, in spite of all those things, in spite of the fact that even Scripture says this, that Jesus says this, that outwardly, you are totally righteous. To anyone looking at you, you're completely righteous. In spite of that, Jesus looks them in the eye and says, you are full of death. And what Jesus is saying is this. He's saying that the outside of the cup, it can change the perception of what's on the inside, but it can never change the reality. What's on the outside of the cup, it can change the perception that people see and what people think about what's on the inside, but the outside looking righteous, looking clean, looking good, it can never change the reality of what is inside our lives. It can never change what's inside of our hearts. And no matter how clean, how good we look on the outside, on the inside, if we are full of death, nothing that we do to the outside can change that. Nothing. And here's the thing, man, if, you know, you may be listening to this and you're like, oh gosh, well, I think I'm pretty good. I mean, I always thought I was pretty righteous and, you know, I thought I followed the rules the way I should. I mean, I'm at church on a Sunday, right? So that's something, you know, I think I'm a pretty good person. Here's the thing, God describes us as cups. You're a cup. You were made and designed to be filled with something, okay? So that means this, you are full of something, okay? There is something that you are full of. And if you don't know what it is, it's probably gross. If you don't know what you're full of, if you're unaware of what that is, if you spend a lot of time on the outside, if you spend a lot of time picking out that denim jacket with the suede shoulders and not thinking about wearing a clean pair of underwear, then what's on the inside is probably pretty gross. But even if you're filled with gross stuff, even if you know you're filled with all this yuck and you don't even want to be filled with it, because you might be in the room right now and you're like, "Man, Chris, you're dead on right now, because when I look at my life and I look at the results of my actions and the results of my attitudes, and I look at how my relationships tend to go, and they keep following the same path over and over again. And the reality is this, is that like, I know I'm just full of crap. I'm just full of yuck, but what do I do? What do I do? So Jesus, he looks at these Pharisees and he diagnoses the problem. You are full of yuck. You're full of crap. You're full of death. You're full of uncleanness. And it doesn't matter what is on the outside, how clean it is. You're full of yuck. Jesus then prescribes a change. He prescribes something that can make it different. And I skip this passage. We're going to jump back. Jesus said this in Matthew 23:26. After he describes them as cups that are just full of yuck. And he says, "You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." First, wash the inside of the cup and the dish. First, get in there, clean out what's inside, and then the outside will become clean too. And this is the big takeaway today. And it's that we need to focus first on what we're full of. The principle that we've got to know, we got to take away, we have to remember, is that we need to focus first on what fills us up. Because make no mistake, you are a cup. You are designed to be filled with something. And that means you are. As you sit in this room, you are full of something. And we need to focus first on that thing that fills us up. Because cleaning the outside, it can't do anything for what's inside of you. You know, trying to stop smoking and stop drinking and you know, having a swear jar in your house, you know, all that stuff is good. And you know, making New Year's resolutions to try and do better with your relationships and to call your mom more often, all that stuff is, you know, those things are great. And setting goals for yourself is important and it's good. But man, if you pull out a rag and you start polishing the outside of the dish, that thing might sparkle, but it's not going to do anything for what's inside of you. It's not going to do anything for what's filling you on the inside, but focusing first on the inside of your cup, focusing first on what's inside of you, what's filling you, focusing first on that, it will change your outside. It will change everything. And instead of being someone who looks like something that they're not, all of a sudden, you're going to be someone, and the person who looks like something they're not, they're a person who lives a life really that's honestly a lie, and all your work is trying to juggle these multiple lives that you live because you're trying to present the image of being a clean cup when on the inside, you're sticky and dirty and gross, and it's like, you don't want anybody to know, but you got to keep polishing and you got to keep cleaning. But all of a sudden, when you say, "You know what, Jesus, I need you to focus on making sure that I'm filled with the right thing and that the inside is clean," then everything balances, and all of a sudden, your life starts to make sense. All of a sudden, everything starts to make sense because it starts with what's inside. We got to focus first on what fills us, on what's inside us. It happens from the inside out. Change in your life. If you need change, if you need something to change for you in your relationships, if you need something to change for you in your finances, you need something to change for you in an area of your life where maybe it's a sin area and you wish you could break this habit and it's destructive and it's hurting you and people around you, but you can't. If you want that to change, it starts from the inside out. And it starts with filling ourselves with the right thing. So what's the right thing? Ephesians 1:23 tells us this. It says, "And the church is his body." It's talking about God, Jesus. "The church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself." So if the answer is to focus first on what you're full of, knowing that we're probably full of junk and that we need to be filled up with something right, and that we need to focus on what's inside of us first, what is the right thing? What is the thing we're supposed to be focusing on being full of? Simple. It's Jesus. It's just Jesus. Jesus is the one who fills us. Jesus is the one who makes us complete. He's the one who makes us whole. It's first and foremost and always Jesus. Do you want to be complete and whole? Fill your life with Jesus. Do you want to be clean on the inside and the outside? Fill your life with Jesus. Do you want your relationships to reflect love and care and sincerity and transparency? If that's what you want out of your relationships, fill your life with Jesus. Do you want your family to be close and tight-knit and have unity in your home? Fill your life with Jesus. Do you want your school year that you're going into, do you want it to be full of peace and joy and not be mired down by anxiety and stress and worry and frustration? Fill your life with Jesus. Because if you don't, if you fill your life with death, well, then you're going to know frustration. You're going to know worry. You're going to know anxiety. You're going to know the pain that sin causes in our life from the consequences of those things. If you want to stay full of crap, but look good on the outside, then you can keep going down that road, but nothing will change for you. If you want change, if you want something different, if you want something new, you need to fill yourself with the right thing. And that thing is so simple. It's one word. It's Jesus. Fill your life, fill your heart, fill yourself with Jesus. Because make no mistake, you are going to be full of something. You're a cup. You're made to be filled. You are going to be full of something. And you will either be full of spiritual death, spiritual decay, and all the consequences that go with it, or you can be filled with Jesus. When you're filled with Jesus, you don't have to polish the outside of the cup. You just focus on being full, and Jesus does all the rest for you. So as I close, I just want to wrap this thing up. I want to give you some things that you can do to make sure that you are filled with the right thing. Okay, so just some practical steps, some things that we can do to make sure that we are filled with Jesus, that we are not filled with spiritual death and spiritual decay. And the first one is this. First thing you can do to make sure that you are filled with the right thing is to repent. You may be in this room and you know, you're like, Chris, even as you're talking, I'm full of crud. I'm just full of yucky, gross stuff. And maybe you haven't even been, maybe you didn't even worried about what the dish looks like. Maybe you're just like, you're so lost in the mess of your life that you just don't even care anymore. There's hope for you. Maybe you have been struggling and trying so hard to appear right and to appear righteous, and you just want to be the person who you see in your mind is living a great life, and you think, if I can just on the outside, if I can just be that person, then everything's going to be okay. And you struggle and you fight to be righteous and to look righteous and to appear like you've got it all together, but it's not working. And it's not working because you're not starting from the inside out. And today, the first thing that you need to do is you need to just acknowledge the fact that you're full of something that isn't Jesus. And in acknowledging that to God, you need to repent. You need to say, you know what, God, I don't want this for my life anymore. I want to turn away from this and I want to start being filled with Jesus. So for you, step one is to repent. Acknowledge it, because you can never change what's inside of you. It will never change until you recognize it, until you confess it, until you acknowledge it. Second thing that you can do to make sure that you are filled with the right things, and this is so super practical. Some of you are going to be like, well, duh, Chris. Well, I'm going to be like, well, duh, back to you. Are you doing it? And that's this. Spend your first time every day with God. You want to be filled with Jesus? Spend time in His Word. Read the Bible. Read the Gospels. Read the stories of Jesus. Read His teachings. Read what He taught. Read how He lived. If you want to be full of Jesus, spend time in His Word. It's how He talks to us. It's how He speaks to us. It's how He fills us up. Spend time praying. Man, take your needs, take your worries, take your fears and anxieties to God. You know, spend time asking Him to take your burdens and then ask Him to fill you up. If you spend the first 5 minutes of every day This is a challenge because I know that there's many people in the room and you know, a daily devotional life is common to you, but there's also people who struggled with it. You struggled to make it happen. You struggled with consistency. Maybe even struggled with like, is this even worth it? But here's the thing. If you spend 5 minutes every day, your first 5 minutes, just reading a little bit out of the Bible and spending some time talking to God and letting him talk to you, just starting as simple as 5 minutes, it could change everything for you. Because you're saying, you know what, Jesus, I want you to fill me. If I got a bucket and I want to fill it with water, I can't stand 20 feet away from the hose and go, why aren't you filling up? I got to go to the hose and put it in the bucket. And we got to go to Jesus. We got to spend time in his word. We got to spend time in his presence. If you want to be filled with Jesus, read the Bible. Put those priority things out of his word first in your mind and pray. Ask God to fill you with his spirit. And then the last thing, and this is something we've talked about kind of off and on over the last several weeks, and that's this. And this one's scary, but ask someone you trust to tell you what they think you're full of. Ask someone that you trust. Go home today. Ask someone you trust. And you know what? In doing this, ask some, because like we all know the person who thinks just like us, that person who's like, well, I could ask them if there's anything wrong with me. And they're going to say no, because duh, they don't want me to tell them there's anything wrong with them. Ask someone who you will trust to be honest with you, to say what you are full of. Because they may see something in you that you don't see in yourself. And here's the thing. It's an act of love to tell someone. It's an act of love to be honest with someone about what you see happening in their life if you think that it's hurting them. It's an act of selfishness to not be honest. It's an act of selfishness to go, oh no, you're fine, you're fine. It's an act of love to be honest when someone asks. But you know what, on the other side of it, it's an act of love to ask and to be vulnerable and to trust someone to tell you something that maybe you don't want to hear. It's an act of love to say, I love you enough to open up and let you tell me what you perceive and what you see in me without getting mad, without seeking vengeance, without getting defensive, but just receiving what you want to tell me and trusting that this is God speaking through someone who I trust. So three things. One is you need to repent. You need to ask God to forgive you. You're full of junk and he needs to fill you with something right. Two, spend time in God's presence every day in your first moments. Just when you wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, roll over, pick up a Bible, read a chapter, pray for 5 minutes, and then get up and take a shower. And then finally, ask someone you trust to tell you what they think you are full of. You are a cup and you are full of something, whether you like it or not. If you don't know what it is, it's probably the wrong thing. But when you're filled with Jesus, man, everything changes from the inside out. And change, transformation radiates when you're full of the presence of God. Let me pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our church and what you're doing in our people. And I pray that you would continue to stretch us and grow us and bless us. God, I pray with those people who need to repent. God, I pray with them. God, I repent of being full of things that I don't want to be full of. And I repent, God, that there's junk in my life that's keeping me from being the man that you want me to be. The person, the husband, the father that you want me to be. And I pray, Jesus, that you would forgive me and that you would move in my life. God, I also commit to spending time with you every day. I commit to being filled with Jesus. And Lord, even if it's just 5 minutes or more, I commit that to you because it's more important that I be filled with Jesus than that I look like I'm filled with Jesus. So I commit to that. And finally, Lord, I will ask someone I trust to tell me what they think I'm full of, and I'll receive it as if it was coming from you. Lord, we love you and we thank you for all that you're doing in our hearts and our lives. We pray that you continue to move. Pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you for joining us at Compass. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you have any questions about Compass or this message, contact us at our website, www.compassbn.com.